You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Earlier this month, the UN Subcommittee on the Prevention of Torture visited Aotearoa for the first time since 2013. The delegation made a range of unannounced visits to facilities such as prisons, police stations, and youth justice and protection residencies. The end-of-visit observations included a repeated emphasis on strengthening investment in and utility of our national preventative mechanism, the collective of Aotearoa's independent statutory organisations tasked with advancing the kaupapa to keep detained people safe. The subcommittee's final report will be delivered to Aotearoa's government, which is then up to the government discretion whether the document is made public. I spoke to Meg Duron, CEO of Te Kahui Tika Tangata, the Human Rights Commission, the coordinating body of the National Preventative Mechanism, about the subcommittee's statements. Kia ora, Meg. What is the HRC's coordinating role in the National Prevention Mechanism?
Kia ora, Jasmine. So Te Kahui Tika Tangata, the New Zealand Human Rights Commission, we are one of five organisations that make up the National Preventive Mechanism. Our role as the coordinating member is to ensure that there is good, clear representation to international bodies, including bodies like the Subcommittee on the Prevention of Torture. Our role is to bring the other four organisations together for regular hui or meetings in terms of our work. We make coordinated submissions, sometimes to domestic legislation and sometimes to international treaty bodies. And we also ensure that there is coordinated advocacy, press releases and annual reports on all of our work. So it's quite a substantial piece of mahi alongside all of the amazing work that the other four organisations do with us.
And how is progress in the mahi monitored and self-regulated outside of the UN subcommittee reporting and visits? I know you mentioned you release your own reports and you gather for hui. What does that look like? Could you paint me more of a picture?
Yeah, so we're part of obviously a bigger system, right? So under the optional protocol, which is designed to try and prevent torture occurring in countries, and it comes from the Convention Against Torture, which is a UN convention that our government has signed up to, we are part of the mechanism that supports our government to ensure they're designing a system that has the prevention of torture in mind. So it's not so much about investigating individual cases, but it's about ensuring that the conditions exist in the country for people who are held in detention to not be subject to cruel or inhuman or degrading treatment. So part of our work, although we do get to engage with the international bodies, you have to remember that the subcommittee last came in 2013, so it's been a really long time since they've actually been in Aotearoa, New Zealand. So in between times, we work closely with detaining agencies, so we ensure that they have the recommendations directly from the National Preventive Mechanism, so they know what concerns we might be seeing in places of detention. We also, as I mentioned, publish an annual report which details the findings in the different areas that our agencies look into. We also ensure that we have thematic reports or work. So for instance, we've had concerns around the continued use of seclusion and restraint practices in our criminal justice facilities. And so over a period of time from 2017 to 2021, we did a couple of focused reports on this issue with an international expert called Dr. Sharon Shalev. So there's lots of different ways that we're able to ensure that this area is, I guess, a focus for the state. So we use all of the tools at our disposal, including advocacy, public reporting, media comment, and obviously regular meetings with those concerned.
And the subcommittee made an observation upon their recent visit that it is unjust that time served on remand by children and young people does not count towards their sentence currently in Aotearoa, and that they advocate for that change, as I'm sure that the NPM is working towards as well. Do you have any more details on the advocacy for this facet in particular?
Yeah, so overall, the NPM is concerned about the increasing use of remand across all of our detention facilities. But with the youth jurisdiction, mokopuna can serve longer on remand than the longest sentence that's actually available in the youth court, and that time on remand isn't counted towards their sentence. So So this is something that Mana Mokopuna and the Children's Commissioner, Dr. Claire Ahmed, has been raising for a long time now. And certainly there is sustained advocacy from the Children's Commission around this point. It's also something that we as the National Preventive Mechanism did draw to the attention of the SPT in terms of our concerns. So we were relieved to see that they have acknowledged that's an area that the government needs to urgently look at. And from our perspective, it's one of a number of issues for young people that we're aware of.
And what avenues exist for incarcerated peoples to speak upon their experiences for that messaging to reach you and then reach further to government and to the subcommittee?
Yeah, so just for your listeners, obviously people who are incarcerated in prison are some of the people that are covered under the National Preventive Mechanism. But the National Preventive Mechanism and OPCAT more broadly covers a large range of places where people are deprived of their liberty. So that can include mental health facilities, aged care facilities and so on. But for people that are incarcerated in prison, there's a number of avenues in which they can speak up or raise concerns. And that's both obviously once they're outside of prison or if they are still in facilities. So there are internal complaints mechanisms that are in prisons and we always encourage people to use those and to continue to use them to ensure that they're documenting concerns they have. There's the Office of the Inspectorate, which prisoners can make complaints to, the Office of the Ombudsman. They can complain to the Human Rights Commission and that tends to be the second or third largest group that comes to us through our complaints mechanism. There's also the Health and Disability Rights Commissioner and the Privacy Commissioner. But there's also lots of other advocacy organisations that work in this space and do amazing mahi, including the Howard League, People Against Prisons or PAPA, Amnesty International, Just Speak. So there's a range of different avenues for people who have concerns to speak up, and as the National Preventive Mechanism we work as closely as we can with civil society as well, including where possible ensuring that the voices of people with lived experience are heard. So for instance we did a range of speaking slots on women's experience in prison and those profiled people who had lived experience in that space. So there's lots of different ways that people who have been incarcerated or who are incarcerated can speak up, but we're obviously aware it is much, much harder and there are many barriers to people who are in prison to do so. So we need to be mindful of that as well.
The non-government sector is doing an incredible breadth of mahi in this space, as you spoke to. What role does the public sector versus the private sector have in answering to the wider interests of this kaupapa?
Yeah, so in terms of the public sector, so we as the New Zealand Human Rights Commission, we're what's called an independent Crown entity. So we are independent of the state, but we're obviously still part of the state, as is the National Preventative Mechanism. As you've acknowledged, there's a whole range of wonderful NGOs and not-for-profits that work in this space. But there's also the really interesting component that we have, that there are private sector organisations that have obligations in this space. And that comes about because under our system, I guess, you've got aged care facilities that are run by private providers, and you do occasionally have private companies that are involved in criminal justice as well. So they have the obligation to follow the law, but the primary obligation to keep people free from torture still sits with the state, even if there is a private provider. But those private providers have to open themselves up to visits from the MPM. They have to open themselves up to visits from the Subcommittee on the Prevention of Torture, and they obviously have to have systems in place to ensure that there's appropriate reporting and keeping people safe as well as their dignity intact when they are deprived of their liberty.
The UN Subcommittee recommendations was to put more of a focus on the mahi of your collective and for the government to focus on more investment in this area long term. What do you think the path is to securing that longer term approach to that support of the National Preventative Mechanism?
We obviously welcomed this recommendation from the Subcommittee or this initial finding from the Subcommittee, bearing in mind that the formal recommendations haven't been provided to the government yet. This is actually something that was recommended back in the 2013 visit as well, in terms of adequate funding. And I think what can be tricky when you implement complex systems like this is that sometimes they get set up with the best of intentions, but as time goes on, there can become a bit of complacency, I guess, in terms of funding of those systems. So when there are public sector cuts, those can impact on mechanisms like this that we sometimes take for granted. So the New Zealand Human Rights Commission, for instance, was subject to a 10% budget cut in the previous budget round and had a previous reduction in funding in the years prior to that. So I think that was part of what the subcommittee was picking up on, and those budget cuts have impacted a couple of the other agencies that do this work as well. So it is tricky to try and do what is an increasing mandate, increasing prison population, increasing areas of deprivation of liberty that come under the mandate, but actually to cover them with sometimes less pūtea, less money. I guess what is really important is ensuring that these organisations have independence from the government, but appropriate government funding to carry out that mahi, and that needs to be long-term and enduring rather than something that can be taken away when priorities change, because obviously the government's obligation and commitment to prevent torture is not a commitment that they can shift away from or ignore. So yeah, our recommendation is obviously that it is funded appropriately across the organisations, including the coordinating role, which is a really important role. Partly why it's so important is to make sure that the recommendations that we provide are actually implemented. And that was another point noted by the subcommittee, is their concern that even though it's been 12 years since they were last here, there are still a large number of recommendations that haven't been implemented and ones that the NPM has made that haven't been implemented. So appropriate funding would enable us to ensure that that happens.
That was Meg Durand, CEO of Te Kahui Tika Tangata, the Human Rights Commission, on the mahi of the National Preventative Mechanism in light of the recent visit of the UN Subcommittee on the Prevention of Torture to Aotearoa.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.